Well, you know what I think. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny that.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable, and that's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Please do not go religious.
Somebody's going to hell over there.
He better not.
Even the devil will speak the truth for his own purposes.
This is war.
Accept it.
Back to Jerusalem podcast.
Yeah, I'm back, and I'm armed with righteousness.
With your host, Eugene Bach.
He just seems like he's got it all figured out.
He's a righteous dude.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another Back to Jerusalem podcast. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, and I'm coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the mountain region of northern Sweden, where I have been with my family for a few days. We have a place that we have bought, and it allows us to get my family to get away from China for this period now that we have the coronavirus. Now, I will be traveling back and forth into China, but for my family, just to make sure. I always try to have a plan B, and I highly recommend this for all of our friends that are also missionaries. For those of you that are missionaries, this podcast is for you. This is something that I have been doing for a while, and something that whenever there's a disaster, whenever it's a war, some sort of disease like we're seeing now, or some sort of big national disaster, we have a method, or at least a principle, that we put in place that tells missionaries when it's time to go. Now, you may not agree with this. It's just a matter of safety. It's something that I put in place for families, anybody that I work with. It's something that I recommend and I go by. Now, just really quick, if you have not signed up for our Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel, I would really like to ask you to please support Back to Jerusalem by going to the Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel. At the moment, we have more than 1,000 people that have subscribed to the Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel. That's really good, but we need more than 3,500 subscribers in order to get to the next level of making our YouTube channel more available to more people. So if you are listening to this podcast, we would really appreciate, go onto YouTube, subscribe. That's a big way. Without sending us any money at all, that is one of the best ways to help us. So if you're listening to this podcast, you think that you're going to do it later, I promise you, you probably won't. Stop the podcast, turn on your computer or your mobile phone, go onto YouTube, sign onto your account, and find the Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel. There you will find a subscribe button. Hit that button. That will be a huge, huge blessing for us. It will allow us to get our material out there to more people. Every single week we put a new video on there that you will not find anywhere else. We don't always put the updates on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or even talk about them here on our podcast because it's video, right? Just some of the things on video don't translate over to podcasts. And we are going to start making this podcast available on YouTube to start catering to those audience members that may not necessarily download podcasts. Now, as crazy as that sounds, there are people, including myself, that listen to audio on YouTube. The reason why is YouTube just seems to be a lot easier to type in. I'm already there. It's already on my computer. And then I can listen to many different teachers that I enjoy listening to on a regular basis that I can't find. I have for myself, I have Podbean. That's what I listen to all of my podcasts on. Podbean is not that great. I'm just too stinking lazy to download anything else and put it on my mobile phone. So I've kind of got Podbean on there. I'm kind of used to it, but it sucks. It really, I wouldn't give it 5 stars. I wouldn't give it 1 star, but I would maybe 3 stars, 2 to 3 stars. It doesn't always upload certain programs that I really like to listen to automatically. It crashes quite a bit. There are certain programs that I really, really look forward to on drives when I don't have internet access. So I download them before I go on a long road trip, only to get in the car and find out that it didn't download. And it's so annoying. It really is an annoying program, but it is a place where I can get most podcasts. However, I do choose to listen to YouTube on a lot of audio stuff, and I will download YouTube videos into MP3 format to listen to on my long road trip. So go to YouTube, find Back to Jerusalem YouTube channel, hit subscribe. That would be a huge blessing. Encourage your friends to do the same. Share our YouTube videos on your social media. That also is a huge blessing. Now, for China, if you haven't heard the updates that I've been giving about China and the coronavirus, I highly encourage you to go to our Facebook Live. On Facebook Live, I share about the coronavirus and the problems that we've been experiencing in China. They are some of the most unique videos on the internet. I'm not just saying that. I've watched several YouTube videos on the internet about the coronavirus. There are certain things that we put in our videos that you won't find really anywhere else, honestly, or not that I have found. I'm not saying that we're the only source of certain information, but we do a pretty good job of collecting information from different sources and putting it in a small package for you to digest in a short amount of time. I know that I might not be the easiest person to listen to, but if you are listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that you've listened to me at least a time or two in the past. And I try to share information that makes your life more knowledgeable so that when you pray for Back to Jerusalem missionaries or those that are in the 1040 window, you can pray with knowledge and information about what's going on. It's really difficult to pray about the needs of things in different areas in the 1040 window if you don't even know what's actually happening there. It's so much more effective to pray with knowledge. And that's what we try to do on this Back to Jerusalem podcast, is to give you the knowledge. Now, I have been, I won't say attacked, but there have been people that have been questioning some of the things that I've been sharing about the coronavirus. And they come from two sides. The two sides that I am being questioned on as it refers to, or pertains to, I should say, the coronavirus, is that there are several people out there that feel that I am not going far enough. So I'm getting messages from people that say, hey, you're talking about the number of deaths every single day from the coronavirus, but you're using official numbers. And we all know that the official numbers are much higher. And they're, you know, quoting numbers of hundreds of thousands of bodies that are burning and evidence of those bodies being burned. Now, I am looking for that evidence, but I have not found enough information, especially from our teams who are on the ground. I have not found enough information, especially from our teams that are on the ground, to confirm those reports. As soon as I can confirm those reports, whether it's on the news or not, I will share those numbers. Now, I truly believe the numbers from China are much higher than what we are seeing, much higher than what's being reported. I don't doubt that at all. I've had experience in China for over 20 years of China downplaying numbers whenever it's in their favor. The Chinese are the Chinese government. So I want to make this very clear before I make this next statement. The Chinese government are liars. Not because they're Chinese, but because they're atheists. They're part of the Communist Party. And China lies about all sorts of things and everybody knows it. So I'm not sharing something that is revelational. I'm not sharing something that is groundbreaking news here. The Chinese government lies about all sorts of things, from their GDP to their concentration camps, to the number of Christians that they have, to the number of jobs and unemployment level that they have, to almost everything that they have to lie about or talk about in China, they lie about it. And it's not because they're Chinese, it's because they're atheists. And for atheists that believe in evolution, morality is all relative. Truth is all relative. All relative to what you can get away with. I mean, if there is no God and you're going to die anyway, and if you can benefit from a lie, and you can benefit humanity with a lie, and you can benefit the Chinese culture with a lie, and if you can benefit the nation of China with a lie, then why not lie? What moral obligation does the Chinese government officials have to tell the truth if a lie benefits them more than the truth? None. Zero. That's why you have Chernobyl. That's why you have the tons of lies that come out of North Korea. This is why the Cuban dictators lie about everything, because morality is relative in Marxism. Truth is relative in Marxism. In atheism, though, in Marxism, Karl Marx said that atheism and religion are incompatible, or communism and religion are incompatible. So it is, if it benefits, so here's the thing. If you believe in evolution, okay? If you believe in evolution, I'm not saying that you're an immoral person, but if you are a moral person, it's not because of atheism. I am saying that the very root of atheism, and if you look at atheism and break it down into the foundational levels, rationally, there is no moral code because it is survival of the fittest. And survival of the fittest means that if you can survive by lying, then lying is right, because lying will help you to evolve to a stronger, more superior species. So there is no moral obligation of the Chinese Communist Party to tell the truth. That's why they don't. I too believe that morality is relative. I too believe that truth is relative. Relative to God. I tell the truth not because of, I mean, sometimes I might fear what you would do to me, so I that might compel me to tell a lie. For instance, if a very kind female friend of mine asks me, do you think that I look fatter than before? I probably have enough. I probably have something in me that feels motivated to not tell the truth in that situation. But I have a moral obligation, not before society, maybe before society if they believe in God, but I alone, even if I believe that society will not find out my lie, and if I believe that my lie will benefit me in the rational survival in society, I will still not lie. Or I hope that I wouldn't lie. Because I believe that there's a God who judges me independently, in secret, or, you know, without other people knowing. So even if I tell a lie that other people could not possibly find out or discover, God always knows. And a part of my faith is that personal relationship with Christ, where I believe even the slightest of lies that might benefit me in society will condemn me before God. And so as my obligation in service to Him, I try to hold myself to a moral code, an ethical code that is relative to God. The Communist Party does not have that. So they lie between their teeth, as all communist governments do. So this is not a racial thing. This is a moral thing. And this is a moral thing that we see in Ethiopia when Ethiopia became communist. This is a moral thing that we see in China, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, North Korea, South America with Venezuela today, Cuba. It happens across all nationalities, all ethnicities. It is not bound by borders. We see it with the Western Germans compared to the Eastern Germans. We see it with the post Eastern European nations that used to be a part of the Soviet bloc compared to the pre-Soviet Union bloc of Eastern Europe. We see it in South Korea versus North Korea. So the Chinese lie, but it is to be assumed. So we don't really know what the true death count is inside of China. However, what we do know is that the numbers that they're giving out are not encouraging. What we do know is that as of today, as I'm doing this podcast, there are currently 18,580 active cases, or I'm sorry, solved cases, I should say. Let me put it this way. There are 18,580 people that used to have the coronavirus. 55,900 of them were healed or got better. There were 20,827 cases of the coronavirus that now has an outcome. Maybe that's a little bit better to understand. Does that make sense? 20,827 people that used to have the coronavirus, they no longer have the coronavirus. 18,580 of those 20,827 have recovered. Yeah, not healed. Recovered. That's so much better. Recovered and have been discharged from the hospital. That's an 89% recovery rate. However, of those 20,827 people, 2,247 of them have died. Unfortunately, that's an 11% mortality rate. That's pretty high. That is a deadly disease. And we're still not done yet. We're not done yet. We don't even know. We're only 2 months into this coronavirus. So if you have not been listening to this Back to Jerusalem podcast, or you haven't heard our Back to Jerusalem Facebook Live, on the Facebook Live, I give out details about what's taking place on the ground, both in China and North Korea. I don't really know of any other podcast that talks about the coronavirus in North Korea. I would highly encourage you to go to that Facebook Live feed. There you can find out what's taking place. But here's what I'm seeing inside of China. And this is what I think that you should know, okay, when it comes to China. I believe China is experiencing, and I know that this is going to cause problems, and I've been getting this for a while. I believe that in China, we are seeing these problems as a direct result of China's persecution against Christians. The timeline is adding up in such a scary way. There are three plagues so far that have hit China. And I believe that they are megaphones telling China, stop what you're doing. Stop persecuting the Christians. Change course. Turn around. Be partners with the Christians. Bless the Christians. You don't even have to become a believer. Just let them have freedom. Like across the water in Japan. Japan's not a Christian country, but they bless their Christians. They allow their Christians to have freedom. Why can't we see the same level of freedom in China? The Chinese Christians are not calling for the downfall of their own government. They're praying for their leaders. They're supporting their leaders. They do not speak bad about their leaders. The Chinese government have never had such good citizens. And yet, the more the Chinese try to bless the nation of China, the more the Chinese government persecutes the Christians. I'm so reminded of the book of Exodus and the actions of Pharaoh. They've never become more real than what I'm seeing right now inside of China. There are three plagues that have been hitting China, that have hit China, and I don't believe that they are the end. I pray that they are. And if you're listening to this podcast, pray. Pray, pray, pray for the Chinese government, because they are being hit hard with three plagues. The first plague to hit China that I did not even see coming, I didn't really even think it was a plague, is the trade war.
The trade war that we saw between China and the United States, between President Xi and President Trump, was one in which I did not see coming. I was not able to really put two and two together until after several months of the trade war being put in place. Let me step back and go to the beginning of the trade war. The trade war that took place really was a threat by President Trump already in 2017. And then he brought it to fruition in July of 2018. So July 2018 is when we saw the beginning of the trade war. Now, let me just correct myself, because when I first saw the beginning of the trade war, what I said was the world economy was going to feel it. America was going to feel it more than China. China was not going to give an inch. They would make the US feel the pain. Because in the trade war, what was going to happen, what I saw happening, was a nation like China, which owns a lot of American debt, they can start using another currency, not the U.S. currency. I was wrong on that, because they own so much U.S. currency. By dumping the U.S. currency, that currency would lose value. Now, I did see China taking steps to have a counterbalance for that. And what they were doing with the counterbalance was they were using the resources that they had to begin to do takeovers of major companies, major pieces of land. What they were doing was taking their money and putting it into equity, so that when the US dollar drops, they would still have stuff in their hand. You understand? Like, even if the money that you're holding in your hand loses value, the stuff that you have in your hand still can bring about whatever value of currency that you're using at that time. That's why gold is so valuable, because it's stuff that even when currency, which really is just an agreement on value. So when I give you $100, I'm agreeing that this has a certain value when I give it to you. When you give me stuff for that paper that I'm giving to you, you are agreeing to that value. When we no longer agree on the value of that paper, then you no longer take it as a payment for your stuff, but your stuff still has value, especially if your stuff is minerals, land, food, or resources that is needed for human survival. These are items that have equity regardless of whatever the economy is. So if you are using Russian rubles, you're using Swedish crowns, you're using German euros, or you're using the American US dollar, it doesn't really matter what the currency is. The person taking that currency for their stuff has to agree to the value. And so I saw China preparing for a big economic meltdown where they would dump the US dollars, but they would still have stuff that would allow them to have a hard currency in whatever the market chose as their main currency, their money, whatever they use to agree on for their trade. So when I saw this first take place, I thought China was better prepared than the United States. And I think that I was right in that. But I did not calculate the spiritual element. And the spiritual element is we saw China as a government step away from Israel, and we saw America as a government step towards Israel. And in fact, we saw the U.S. Embassy be placed in Jerusalem, and we saw the Golan Heights be acknowledged as a part of Israel. We saw funding from the Palestinians for the Palestinians from the United States cut off. We saw funding from the United States to Israel increased, whereas in China, we didn't see any of those measures. We actually saw the opposite of those measures. And I believe that is a big part of this problem that we're seeing in China with the plague. So with the trade war, in every rational point, China should have been dominating the trade war. They make 90% of all the TVs. They make a buttload of most of the mobile phones. Many of the things that we consume on a regular basis, especially as it pertains to Apple and Samsung, are produced in China. So when you cut those off from the market, or you increase tariffs of items that are made in China, which is almost everything, or was almost everything, you have a big problem when you enter into a trade war. What we saw, though, immediately is that the U.S. had a little bit more leverage than the Chinese. July 2008, when Trump followed through with the trade war, he put tariffs on $550 billion worth of goods, of Chinese goods coming into the United States. China could not match that because China is an export market, not an import market. China benefits a lot more by selling goods to the U.S. than the U.S. does selling goods to China. China has set up the market that way. That's why Trump wanted to go into this trade war, because they set up a very unfair marketplace. For instance, if you are a Chinese businessman, you go to America, you set up a business, you have almost the same laws for yourself as the American businessman. But if you're an American businessman and go to China, forget it. It's all stacked against you. You have to give away your trade secrets. You have to give away 51% of your company just to do business inside of China. And if you want to sell goods to China, unless you grease some officials along the way, you're going to be paying a high tax on any of those items. And China says, basically, if you want to sell us your American goods, come to China, make those goods in China, and then we'll buy them. And basically, then all it is Chinese goods with American management. That's all that is. It's a Chinese company, 51% of it being owned by the Chinese. So it wasn't a fair trade setup. So that's what launched this. Now, when the U.S. put tariffs on $550 billion worth of goods, China couldn't answer back. They did all that they could and stretched it, and they could only come up with tariffs on $185 billion worth of goods. Trump just got started. The Chinese, at the very beginning, it showed their weakness, because at the very beginning, they couldn't really go much higher than that. $185 billion worth of tariffs didn't hurt the American companies that much. Yeah, some, but not that much. It hurt the Chinese companies a lot. Factories started shutting down. Unemployment went through the roof. GDP went crashing to the bottom. Now we are seeing huge economic problems. Now, 2018, we started to see the impact of the trade war with President Trump. What else was taking place in 2018? Well, if you've been listening to this podcast, which I hope you have been, then you would know that that was the year that we started to see the implementation of the biggest crackdown on Chinese Christian churches that we have seen in the last two decades. Persecution went up and the economy came down. And we have seen a plague on the Chinese economy for the last 2 years. And it can all be explained through the trade war, but I believe personally, you don't have to agree with me, but I believe that the root of this economic crash inside of China was spiritual. I believe that by persecuting the Christians, China was suffering. The Chinese government went after, they declared war on God's people, and they saw the result. It's just counterintuitive. I'm not even saying that God somehow, like in the book of Exodus, released, you know, turned water into blood and released frogs and killed the firstborn. I'm not even talking about active plagues. I'm just talking about common sense. That if you persecute the most productive citizens in your nation, you're going to feel the impact of that. Come on. The people that are the most honest, you're going to persecute. Those that are the most financially productive, you're going to persecute. Those that actually support you as the government leaders, you're going to persecute. No, you're going to see the impact of being stupid in public. And that's basically what the Chinese government did. They had no good reason to persecute the Christians, except for a spiritual one. The communist government that is being led by the enemy cannot stand the revival that's taking place. There is something in the spiritual elements of the Chinese atheist party that is irritated at the idea of Christian revival taking place across the nation. And the enemy has to put a stop to it. So they have moved along the Chinese atheist leadership to attack this growth. What the enemy should realize is they need to pick up a history book, because every time you persecute the church, you only make it grow more. So, the first plague to really hit China, I believe, is the trade war. But here's the thing. We saw something very interesting take place. You may not feel that it's related. I believe it's directly related. In December of 2019, Brexit had this this vote where the people reaffirmed their desire to separate from the European Union. The first time that we saw this take place was in the summer of 2016. And that really was kind of the canary in a coal mine that announced the elections that we saw in the United States, with somebody that nobody saw as being the winner. By the way, when I was in the UK during the time of the Brexit vote, I remember many of my friends saying, "What do you think?" or asking, "What do you think?" And I said, "I believe that we are going to see a yes on Brexit, because I feel that there's so much energy in the country." But all of the news outlets were saying that this would never happen. My wife was in Sweden during the election of 2016 for the US. And I remember her getting onto a plane flying to China. I was in Shanghai that day, and I was in an English school. I was together with some of our friends. One of the guys who runs our internet, he was there. I was at one of our language schools in Shanghai. I was there together with our team. And I basically had told my wife asked me, "What do you think is going to happen at the election today?" Keep in mind, Huffington Post said that 99.8% chance Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency. And I said, I think Trump's going to win. I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't support Trump. I was against Trump. But I said, I can feel the energy. I think he's going to win. I said the same thing about Barack Obama both times. I said, I don't want him to win, but I think he's going to, because I can feel that passion on the other side. I can feel that momentum. I can feel that enthusiasm. That enthusiasm is there for Trump. And I believe that that was kind of announced by Brexit. Well, we saw that in December of 2019, where Brexit was reaffirmed by the Brits. They said, no, we want to separate from the EU. That's what we said. Within a couple of days, the Chinese came to the US and said, we're willing to agree to a ceasefire on the trade war. Why? Because I think that the Chinese thought that they were going to wait out President Trump and just support another leader so that they could renegotiate the trade practices back to the way that they wanted them, which was all favorable for them and screwed everybody else. That's basically the way the Chinese trade operates. Started from the 1980s, there were a lot of incentives given to China in the 1980s just to get them into the world community. And by the way, they're still not a part of the world community. They still don't play by the rules. If anybody has been watching the news at all, just yesterday, three Wall Street Journal journalists were kicked out of China because they wrote an article that was unfavorable for the Chinese regime. It goes back to the point. I mean, they don't play. They want to be accepted into the world community as a first world nation. But first world nation really means a nation with Christian ethics, ideas, and morality. China has none of those. In fact, they attack those that do have those. When they saw Brexit reaffirmed, I think that that's when they're like, okay, we're ready to sign an agreement. And that's when we see, check this out, January 15th. Sorry, I'm getting a little long-winded here. I apologize. I just want to help you as the listener to understand what I believe to be the three plagues on China. The first being the trade war, and the trade war basically There was a resolution that came through when the Chinese signed phase one of a trade agreement with President Trump that came to terms with what he wanted on January 15th, or at least the majority of what he wanted. January 15th seemed like the dark clouds were parting. The trade markets soared. People were rejoicing. Now the two largest markets in the world were coming together. They were no longer at odds, and that was going to be good for everybody. Now businesses and business people around the world could breathe a little lighter, live a little easier, and have a little more hope. January 15th, little did the world know that China was actually bottling a secret that they already knew since the early December, which is that there was a new virus that was about ready to wreak havoc on the entire world. And China kept it a secret. They knew about it from December, but they did not say anything. President Xi just came out and said that he ordered for Wuhan to go on complete lockdown on January 7th. No, he didn't. You think anybody in their right mind would disobey an order from President Xi, who's basically like a god right now because he's gotten rid of all of his opponents? Everybody that disagreed with him have basically been removed. And even when there was a barrier in the Chinese constitution that said that President Xi could only serve 2 5-year terms, he got rid of that. He can basically be president for the rest of his life, for as long as he wants, because all the people that opposed him are now gone. Some of them executed. Executed because President Xi went on a rampage against those that were the politicians or people that were party members that were embezzling money. So he went on this huge crusade attacking anybody that was taking advantage of the government to enrich themselves, which is basically everybody. And in fact, when authors started to write books about information that they had on President Xi and how President Xi has enriched himself, those authors came up missing, literally kidnapped. Kidnapped out of Hong Kong, kidnapped out of Thailand. One of them, a Swedish citizen, taken into China, held against their will, and then made to come out publicly and confess whatever the Chinese government wanted them to confess. So when we see January 15th, the Chinese sign this agreement, little did the world know that there was another plague on the horizon. If you look at the numbers for the coronavirus, right now, today, as I'm doing this podcast, there is over 70, almost 80,000 people that are now known to have the coronavirus. 99% of them are in China. There's over 2,200 people that have died at the very moment that I'm doing this podcast. By the time you listen to it, that number will have gone up several hundred because it goes up over 100 every day. The nation that is being hit the hardest with this virus, as if it's a plague, has been China. Factories have been shut down. Workers can't go back. Banks, businesses, shops have been shut down. China's largest travel holiday, Chinese New Year, people were on lockdown. The biggest cities in all of China, Shanghai, Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Wuhan. Wuhan is the largest city in central China. Lockdown. People can't go out and go back into their homes. Guards are checking IDs. You can't go visit your friends, your mother, your sister, family members. People are leaving their home about once a week to go and buy the items that they need, hoping that their savings will help them through this time because they can't go to work. And even if they're still getting paid a monthly salary, it's very difficult when there are no bank workers at the bank to process your payment. When ATMs run out of cash, when banks don't calculate that deposit that has come through, when your job is no longer getting customers because people are no longer buying from you, When factories are no longer open for production, so therefore you have no goods to sell, this is the worst time. China's already in a nosedive with their economy, and now this is going to hit even harder. Even harder. This is the second plague to hit China. The third plague is now on China's border. The third plague, believe it or not, are locusts. What we are seeing right now with locusts is insane. We know that locusts, if you look at locusts as a plague, we're talking old school here. I mean, if this is something that goes back to the days of Moses, it's like us watching a cartoon from a Bible story. We know that there were 10 plagues that hit Egypt when the Pharaoh persecuted God's people and would not let them go, when he enslaved them and even made their labor harder, tried to punish them. And God trying to get the Egyptians to let God's people go brought about hardship for the Egyptians that would allow them to ease up and allow the God's people to go and pray, to go and give offerings. The eighth of the 10 plagues that hit Egypt, we see in Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 to 15 reads this: "And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over Egypt so that the locusts swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail," which was the previous plague that hit. Exodus chapter 8, verse 32, we see that the Pharaoh, standing against God, hardened his heart. China changed directions. This is the third plague to hit. Do you not see a correlation, a connection between the way that you are treating Christians and the problems that your nation is going through? Turn around. Repent before the Lord. Come to the throne room of God. He will show mercy as he did to those of the Assyrian Empire. He will show mercy to those that cry out to his name. We continue to see a big challenge with these locusts. Right now, there is a calculation that if these locusts go through and devour what we think that they can, we've already seen the plague is suspecting as many as 360 billion insects that have so far devastated East Africa. They moved over Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, India, and now they're going into Western China. 360 billion, and they're multiplying. They're multiplying in an astronomical way. China has sent ducks to go and fight for them and eat the locusts. My prayer is that it works. Could this attack of the locusts be the third plague to hit China? My guessing is not what I want. I don't want to say that these are three plagues, but that's now what I'm seeing inside of China. And I'm asking, and I know that the church in China also is asking for your prayers. Pray for the Chinese leadership to turn away from their ways of persecuting the church. Turn against their ways of fighting against God. Turn against their ways of rejecting the teaching of God and his word. and bless the believers in their land, lest we see even more hardship come to China. We pray for you, China. We pray for our brothers and sisters and believers inside of China. We pray for their protection. On that, I bring good news. There have been 28 families that we know of inside of Wuhan, Christian families, that have been infected with the disease. Most of them were infected because of they were arrested. They were infected during the time that they were in incarceration for sharing the good news, for trying to help people that needed help, handing out masks, supplies, disinfectant, and giving hope. For that, they were arrested. Their items were confiscated. And we're seeing that we're seeing the same thing right now in Western China. Now, remember, in Western China, in Xinjiang province, we saw that China has started these re-education camps where they have about 1 million prisoners, people from the Uyghur minority group that are mainly Muslim, but they're also Christians that have been locked up, and they're every day being fed propaganda to teach them communism and atheism and lead them away from their religion, attacking their religion relentlessly. Unfortunately, those re-education camps do not have proper sanitation. And within those re-education camps, there is reports of the disease growing very fast, going from person to person, spreading from building to building, from re-education camp to re-education camp. This is a huge problem. My prayer is that, like SARS, if you remember 2003 when SARS hit, I remember it very well. I was in Xinjiang at the time. And I've told the story before where I contacted my wife and she was very, she was panicked about it, but she was definitely anxious because she was pregnant. And the biggest warning at that time was for young people, elderly people, and pregnant women who got sick to try to avoid being in public areas. So we ended up flying her out of China back home to Sweden at that time. But I remember being in Xinjiang, and I remember hearing all of the information about SARS and the problem with SARS, but it is nothing compared to what we are seeing today. But the good thing that we saw during the time of SARS, which I'm hoping we will see this year, was that as summertime comes, and this is with all flu, I mean, right? The flu season is usually in the wintertime. We call that flu season. There's a reason we call it flu season. The flu season that we currently experience, that we fight off every year, this is a part of, or this is still kind of the remnants, or at least I've been told this, that this is still kind of the remnants of the Spanish flu. And that so basically every year when we get what we call the common flu, it's basically the Spanish flu, and it dies out during the summertime. The wintertime provides the perfect kind of petri dish for this disease, the flu, the common cold, pneumonia, to spread around. But during the summertime, you actually see, so as things get warmer, the disease, so actually, we could actually be all saved from the coronavirus from global warming. This is a good part about global warming. If global warming is true, global warming would actually be good to fight against the coronavirus. So in essence, we might actually be saved by global warming. So if global warming can save us from the coronavirus, is it all that bad? I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek, but I do want to ask for prayers. Prayers for our brothers and sisters. One of the great things so far is that, at least from the networks that I work with, we don't know of anybody in the networks inside of China that have been killed by the coronavirus. And I believe that that is a direct result of your prayers. I believe that that is a direct result of the prayers of the Christians inside of China. I want to ask you to continue praying for Back to Jerusalem, the Back to Jerusalem teams, and the Christians inside of China, and all of those that are fighting the coronavirus. I want to thank you for downloading this Back to Jerusalem podcast. Remember, look us up on YouTube, hit subscribe, follow us on YouTube where we're putting up videos every single week. I want to thank you for downloading this Back to Jerusalem podcast again. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of Sweden. God bless you.